Hey, might as well just talk over this real quick. Gotta get out of here because the next show is coming up. Thanks everybody for listening. Fabio will be back next week. Happy next year. Happy next year? Happy New Year. And I hope my little spiritualized tribute, or not tribute, whatever, a gift. Okay, so it is, we're actually currently listening to Hoto Tohokesu. I figure we might as well come out the way we came in. We heard two from Spiritualize before that, Take Good Care of It and Symphony Space, from their first album, of course. Expo 70, did a long one there from some live stuff recorded on the 2010 tour, kind of mixed together. And we started out with the Terry Riley classic Rainbow in the Curved Air from 60, you know, right in there. Late 60s, you get it. But you know what? I bet you it's not. I bet you it's... Who cares? What you need to know is that... Yes. What you need to know is it's WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and WFMU in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org, of course. Stay tuned for more. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Wide. My show with jokes is peppered. I'm a shepherd. I got funny eyed spots like a humorous commercial leopard. My rhymes are copious. I painted myself into a freestyle corner. Now I'm stuck there, staring at the shaper of my fate, the word copious. Oh, well, hello, friends. How are you? Oh, my goodness. I was just thinking the other day how when I was performing live, either I or Greg, who was introducing to me, said to everyone, "Shemp Jive." Now, if you have a long-time listener to the show, you will realize that this is a catchphrase that I made up for the show as a catchphrase. But it's sort of not just a silly catchphrase. I wanted it to have the same sort of feeling as when someone says, "Assalamu alaikum," or "Shabbat shalom," or "Hey, buddy," or I don't know, one of them. Something religious like that. That invoked a sort of a wishing of peace or well-being or something like that. So, and I love Shemp from the Three Stooges. And I think he might have been a good person. I've never read anything bad about him. He was a good uncle to people. And he might have had children. I need to do some more research into the... Oh, I'm embarrassed to say I don't know enough about the Three Stooges' personal lives, as I should. You know, because part of fandom is doing a deep dive into someone's grave, even. So I'm going to go in there and look. What was that? That's driving me crazy. What was Mo buried in? You know? And so I get out the camera. Say, this is going to stream this. And the YouTubers are doing that now. Say, we're going to dig up celebrity graves. And just see, like, what are they wearing, really? It's just a fashion, mainly a fashion blog. We used to call them blogs. We had blogs and everything like that back in the day, the early day of the internet. Well, I was thinking about, so he said, Shemp Jive, and I had brought a friend who was new to the show and had not really listened to the show and was just a friend of me in real life. And that, I would say, would be most people. And most of my friends in real life say, you have a show, right? And I go, yeah. You go, I don't listen to that. I go, you probably won't, because you can just talk to me. The show is really for people who don't have my number. And so I said, Shemp Jive, and my friend said, is that a religious thing? Is everybody religious? And I said, well, no, it's from the show, but it's something that's just, you know, a reference. And, you know, when you were a kid, I remember... this is going to date me, but the turn of the century, it was the golden age, and I was 42, and it was 1911. No, that doesn't date me that much. I was in maybe junior high, and Mork and Mindy had come on the air. And oh, that Mork, what an impact he made on the culture. No one had seen a mime on so much cocaine. And so... everyone's saying, probably saying all these novel things. So I remember watching that show for the first time. It was a lot of hype. It's like, you know, Robin Williams, who's like, it's a reality, or something that had an album like that, and going to be a Mork and Mindy. So we watch it, and I remember having a notepad saying, I'm going to write down every catchphrase. And sure enough, right off the top, so Nanu Nanu. And Shazbot, he's saying Shazbot to everyone. I'm writing down Shazbot. Now, so I'm going to say these at school tomorrow. And then everybody is going to know that I'm on, I'm hep or hip. It just keeps changing. It was hep cats. They had hep cats back the day. Then it's hip. I don't know why there's a lot of vowels they haven't put in there. They could have. So, that kind of insider thing, I say, well, he knows, because I, you know, and you hear people dropping things like, is that from a movie? Or you go, no, it's just I was just thinking a thing. But we do communicate that way often. And if you've ever seen like something like, I used to read the funny papers. Oh, my goodness. I'm not as literate as I used to be. I'm ashamed of how much the funny, like I said, you know, there's so much gaps in my knowledge because I'm not reading the funny papers like I used to. Now, in my defense, there aren't papers. So the newspapers went away. So you have to seek out the funny paper strips. And often now they're written by someone of no relation to the original artist. Now, I think the Keene family for Family Circus tried to keep it in the family. Said, Billy, I want you to keep this. And the father kept hinting in life. Said, Billy, this is all going to be yours someday. So all this, Billy said, I don't know if I want to be cartoon. It's just like the Al Jolson jazz singer. So I want to be a cantor. I want to do blackface. It's like, no, yeah. So this is the funny papers had strips in there, and one of them done by Johnny Hart, let's say, who I think also wrestled, and he had one called MBC, said calling it BC, and it was these little fellas and some women in there, one of them, and they are cavemen, BC, before Jesus. And then they all have little traits and everything. So, but what happens is, and it'll be a joke, you read it, blah, blah, blah. But if a strip is around long enough, it becomes sort of self-referential. And you're supposed to know all the traits of the character. So when Clumsy Carp comes in, you go, that's Clumsy Carp. He's going to do something clumsy. And he does, and he'll say, you know, did I do that or something? And you know to laugh. Now, if somebody came in who wasn't familiar with BC and they saw that, it would be meaningless. It would be very strange to them. It's like, why is everybody laughing at this fella? And imagine an alien or something coming to our planet. And most of what we do and communicate is sort of self-referential. It's contained within this system and the limited scope. Hear it? You hear it in my voice, the limited abilities of our intellect. Right up against the walls, you hear me bumping up against the parameters, the outer walls of my intellectual ability, as if I was like the Truman Show and I've just sailed out to sea and boom, and the horizon is not infinite. I have reached the limits of my knowledge and my computational ability even. And so when I look at things outside of my neighborhood of my universe, they seem strange and inconsistent because I have no way of looking at them really. I can only look and say, that is the strangest looking caveman. He's not one of us, is he, Clumsy Carp? No, I don't know. So it's hard for us to look at things, even like physics. We go, it's all a mysterious world. We see things that contradict our... No, probably not. That contradict our view of things. Because it's just, it's cartoonish. And it's just meant for us. And no one else knows what we're talking about. All language are twin languages. So you've heard stories of twins that come up with a language between themselves that only they can understand. And they know what each other are talking about, right? And then those twins, they started a restaurant, and this YouTuber came in, and he could speak their language. And so they gave him free noodles. I don't know. But those languages, just two people. Now, what good is a language that only two people can understand? But then again, what good is a language that only a few million people can understand? Or only living people can understand? Or only humans or biological? Doesn't make any sense, right? It's just for them, for that time. It's like coming up with just a series of symbols just for the moment, and you can't take it with you when you die. Oh, wouldn't that be a shock? Say, oh, I'm really excited about getting to heaven. All right. And so there's a literal heaven. Good, there is. There's a literal heaven. That's exciting. I got bad news for you, though. What? It has its own language. What? Is it English? No, it's no human language. You got to learn it all over again like you were a baby. It's angel. What? It's angel language. You mean like Help me, Rocky. You got to help me, Rocky. No, not that angel. It's like you're going to have to learn it all over. Oh, I feel out of place. How do I communicate with the other angels? Well, you're going to have to learn the angelic language. And I will tell you, it's got a lot of like, all this stuff way back in the throat, and then some really subtle, there's a sound like that. It's like a L, it's like an L or an R mixed with an O and mixed with a sigh. So I don't know if I'll be able to do that. So you say, I can't do it. I won't be able to speak angelic. I don't want to die. Exactly. Well, you can go to hell where they just speak French. And that's a lot easier. But that's the thing. See, it's contained. Everything is impermanent. It doesn't really speak to the larger universe. And it's very difficult to use our telescopes. It's like using a kaleidoscope as a telescope. I mean, I don't know how useful it is. So look at that. You know, it's like, wow, you know, I don't know how much of what you're seeing reflects reality or is it helping you gain knowledge or anything. Seeing it so blurry. Like, let's say Mr. Magoo wrote a travel guide. And he's got an entry in the book that says, you know, on this corner is a very helpful policeman. And you go there, and it's a fire hydrant. He thought the fire hydrant was a very tiny policeman. Oh, my goodness. So you see how, like, it's accurate for Mr. Magoo. So, yes, I am. If you gave him a polygraph, he'd say, I was definitely talking to a policeman on that corner. Yes. He thought he was. And so his book, Is It Helpful to Us? Now, I was thinking, the way that I think, which is don't you think like this, because your mind will ooze out your ears or something. But I was thinking like everything is like that. So everything that's ever been written or communicated is basically Mr. Magoo's travel guide. And that's a useless piece of information, isn't it, for you? Oh, my goodness, Hardy, you are keeping me company on this long car trip. I don't know that I'm learning anything. And I think that even if, like, it is pointless, if I get one of those books on tape and it's a lecture and it's like Richard Feynman and, you know, he's going to life's a bit like a safe, right? Or something. I don't know. And you go, well, I'm learning about physics. But are you? You know, I don't know. I think that a lot of knowledge now is only applied on social media. Because I will read social media. Someone make a science post or something. And I'm thinking, is everyone a scientist? Because everyone has some sort of opinion or something to add. And it's amazing. I can't imagine. This is like peer review on steroids. How many peers? Oops, all peers. That's what the social media is. And most of the time I'll read things like, I don't know that. But I get that is not, and it's not out of humility. It's just that I find it very detrimental to my survival ability to delude myself, kind of obviously. And so I try not to. I try not to pretend that I know things that I don't. And I love to explore my ignorance. It's a beautiful, undeveloped forest. It's woods. And it's, you think ignorance is the lack of knowledge, but sometimes it's acknowledging the existence of things you don't understand. And that is not, you know, there's, I guess, foolish ignorance, but what I like to say is, you know, if I'm walking through the forest, you and I are walking through the forest together, and you go, tree, tree, sycamore, blop, 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 and you're naming everything like that, you must be done thinking about it. And it's so much more satisfying to me, I don't know who you are, to look at something and say, I truly don't know much about that. When I really think about it, I could tag something on it and move on. But boy, if I spend about 2 seconds thinking about it, I am staggered by the mystery. It's overwhelming. And it's very interesting to start to see the world like that, sort of unmoored from your knowledge, the way you are in dreams a bit. And you think, boy, everything I don't think the things I learned apply here. I'm sorry. I went to a job interview in a dream recently, and I was absolutely mortified. I was like, I don't even know half of what you're asking me. I guess I've been to some school here in Dreamland, but I don't remember it, and I don't remember what I learned. Oh, now you're in a war. Now you have to get out of this hotel room by noon, but all your possessions are here. I don't have a U-Haul. Oh, and you're in another country. That's from being in another country and having to move. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Did you ever, like, set up shop in another country and you go, oh, now I got to move all my stuff over an ocean? It's really nerve-wracking. So what I did is I just became detached from, I was like, oh, man, maybe I don't even care what happens to my stuff. And then I started re-caring once I was reunited with it. So, oh, now I'm deeply materialistic again. Thank you. But once it was in transit, I'm like that on a plane, too. I care about life. I have nothing but self-preservation until I get on a plane and then I'm going, okay, I guess I'm dying. Well, that's how I cope. And then I don't. And then every time we arrive someplace, even if it's someplace that doesn't move me, which isn't most places. I can't even think of, you know, people drop a name of a town and go to make fun of. You know, like, oh, you end up in Cleveland. And Cleveland's great, you know, and a lot of famous people, all famous people are from Cleveland, weirdly. But, you know, you go to make fun of a town or something. You know, where are you from? You know, Jersey City. That's the center of my universe. Some lovely times there. And yes, every place has got something going on in it. There's some worse than others. Don't listen to me. But I have a hard time making definitive statements like that, especially negative ones, because you think, I got to really think that's maybe more nuanced. But gosh, nuance will get you killed sometimes. So, you know, you are living in a world that demands some kind of, you know, binary, on, off, black, white kind of thinking, when you know deep in your heart, it's just a wonderful, it's not quite gray, what is it, like a speckled something? Oh, that's the world I see is like a Jackson Pollock painting, but an infinite one. And as you move across it, you move across time. I'm on so many cold drugs. And what are cold drugs? Well, they're recreational drugs that you keep in the freezers. Well, please don't find them. No, I'm kidding. But I am on a lot of cold medicine. It's cold and flu season. And other season. I don't know why they don't add the rest of the thing. It's holiday season. It's roasting large bird season and flu season. So it's a lot of seasons. And we don't just have four seasons. That's the thing. You know, the seasons are like heavy metal. It's just, there's an infinite amount of subgenres. You can keep dividing it. I think it was Democritus who said, if you take heavy metal and you keep dividing it infinitely, you make a tiny little piece of cheese, is what you finally get. And that is called, and he called it the atom. Isn't that fun? And he named it after, said, I'm going to name the smallest piece after the first man. He said, "That's you see that little tiny thing? So yeah, Democritus, go. I'm going to call him Adam because he's the first little piece of everything and everything's built on Adam. I don't know. That's silly. That's not true. I don't know that the pre-Socratic Greeks, how into the Bible were they? That would be an interesting question for AI. You know, there's a lot of things that the thing about the AI is that AI has never been to 90% of the public restrooms in the United States or the world. And so a lot of the information that it gets is like straight off the internet. You got to feed it stuff. So it can't just, it's not roboting around the place yet. But, and it hasn't done a full smell inventory of the world. It can't smell. It has a AI smell. It is making perfume already. I hate to tell you. Did you know that? AI is formulating perfumes as we speak. And, so you're going to smell like a robot is the first one that's coming out. And there's going to be things that had no human thought in them. And that'd be wonderful. And that wonderful, what a wonderful world we'll live in. And already, imagine them making movies. Because AI is in a lot of movies and everything. It'll probably just at some point go like, hey, man, this isn't for you. It's just for AI, for other AI. So, okay. So that cinema is closed. Oh, we're going to take my family to the movies. What? That's an AI cinema for AI. It's just got seats full of robots watching itself do things. And, I mean, that's not unlike us, really. You look at we think we're individuals, but we're all just little, you know, bits of the same species that's using the same code and really indistinguishable at some level. You know, it's all about resolution. You pull back and you go, oh, it's a swarm. And you pull in, you go, oh, that's Granny Brown. Oh, my goodness. I feel like the old lady in the first Apu trilogy movie. That's what a beautiful thing. Get that old. So old that you look like you're not even alive anymore. So, well, you know, I'm so close to death. And the actress was very close to death as well. And you look at it in the face, you say, here we go. We are born, and then we immediately die, and then we're reincarnated, and then this time we make it to 10. No, I don't know how it works, but nobody's guaranteed anything. You know that. It's very strange. And I always thought that the first time you're a kid and you lose a classmate, you go, well, I was not told it worked that way. You know, I thought it was because I see at the New Year's celebration that the baby turns into the old long white beard. So you have the little baby, and then at the end, I think at the end you should just have like a cigar chomping baby, like in the old 30s thing. Yeah, I'm a baby, see? But they have the old, now they just look like, it looks like David Letterman in diapers is the, he never used to look like that. Long, people never even had long white beards. The only long beards when I was coming up was on the cough drop box. Those brothers, Rutherford Hayes, and I forget, but there was a cough drop brand, and it was two guys with beards. Now there's like those hipster products is nothing but pictures of guys with these long beards on it. Isn't that funny? So you got your Smith Brothers cough drops or whatever, and it looks exactly like, Rugged Man genital polish or whatever they have now that, you know, for your beard moisturizer and fragrancer. The guy's got the 30s German haircut and the long beard. And that's the look for a lot of folks now. Bless you. Now, my beard is a product, a little bit, of rosacea and a weak chin. But I mean, there's other reasons to grow it out. And like I said, I would like to be. I always wanted to be a mall Santa when I was a kid. But I thought, well, I'm never gonna have a long white beard and be fat. Now I am. But there's no malls. But that's a gift of the Magi thing, isn't it? You have your wish. Thank you, Santa. But no, there's no malls. Yeah. Whoops. Didn't think about that, did you? Don't wish for stuff for a genie. It's nothing but irony. See, if you could read Arabic, you'd realize that word on that lamp is irony. Or is it Arabic? It's not Arab. Where's the lamp from? South Asia or something? I don't know. Yeah, always like an Indian genie or something. I don't even know. I don't. All this stuff, the way they dealt with ethnicity in those old movies is disconcerting. So I don't know. I try not to get my information that way. I'll look into it. I'm not. People probably want to tell me desperately because, as I said, we're all scholars. But I really don't know. I think that if we were teaching each other less, this assumption that everybody needs to be taught. I really see, in most people, what I see is something that has been molded by television advertising, whether people are aware of it or not. So whole personalities are created that what I see is based on things that were dreamt up in ads or sitcoms. So I think it used to be that, you know, there was a myth or something, and you'd kind of model your lives on lives you had heard about or your ancestors. And now I think people do straight up, whether they know it or not, model their lives on television characters. And even ones on ads. And because it's really hard as a human just to know how to be or to know what you're supposed to be. And so we gravitate towards types or archetypes or whatever you want to call them. There's no other way to do it. It isn't very complicated. You've got to conform. That's why you're speaking a language. And then within that language, you maybe have an accent. And that's vowel conformity. You're conforming right down to the pronunciation of your vowels. And that is to fit in. Otherwise, you'd be babbling a language made for no one. Isn't that interesting?
Is it?
I am here. Mainly, I think, so you won't fall asleep. Because I just assume everybody's been hit on the head and needs to stay awake for the next 24 hours until they can get to an aid station. And I guess it might be an episode or something. You've got to stay awake. A lot of times, science fiction, because where would you be but stranded on a planet where you couldn't get to the sick bay and you got to stay awake so that your concussion doesn't throw you into a coma? I think that's, for Kolchak the Night Stalker, it was, he had a dream curse put on him. So if he fell asleep, he would die just from that. And so sometimes it's a supernatural reason. People have oh my goodness. You don't know what people are carrying around with them, what demons, some of them literal. I've seen people with creatures clamped on their heads. They said, what is that winged creature? It looks like a monkey with bat wings or something. Oh, one of my demons. And I go, you know, you got to look into that. It might not be a demon. It might be some neurological quirk, and you could learn some cognitive, some coping strategies or something. No, I like him. I know, right? I know, it's like he smells bad, but in a good way, you know, like a civet note and perfume. Isn't that funny how like a cat's bung in context or in small amounts would be alluring? You don't think that. It doesn't make a good sentence, but it is reality. And you've had that. You go, what is that smell? And you go, don't proclaim it a good one, because then if you find out, the next molecule you detect may give you a better clue to what it is, and it may not be pleasant. It might just have, you know, a note in it that's the same note. Now, cheese is like that, and that's because the bacteria are similar. So you could smell a cheese and go, that smells like socks. And then, because it is, in a way, like a lot of times it's the same bacteria. So, but it's context, right? So that molecule's not doing anything to you. Don't eat a sock. I have to tell this to my dog daily. And she doesn't eat them, though. What she does is she gets socks, and then she brings it over and puts it next to her toy. I guess she's giving it to the toy. She does this with Kleenex, too. She doesn't eat them. She just gets them and then gently brings them over. It's her children, I think. I wish I had wadded up Kleenex children. And I think a lot of you are going, ugh, because I didn't think before that came out of my mouth. I wish I had sock children. And I really do. And
I love you.
I love you, sock child. It would say whatever I wanted it to say. And I don't want children like that. I want them to have their own.
I'm mad at you.
I know now you are, because you're frustrated.
I hate you.
Okay. I won't, just because I won't let you go blow up stuff in a field with your friends.
We got dynamite.
But see, I think it'd be hurt you, and I don't want you to go and do that. So I'm going to pull my hand out of you and put you in the drawer. That's what I do with my sock children. And I had puppets as a child and would interact with them a great deal. And I really saw a lot of times I think about where are they now and do they retain any memories of any of that? But I think, no, they probably don't. And that's why it's so much better to have puppets than friends, because the friends will remember things and not always correctly. And then they drag that inaccurate memory of you around for years, and you occupy some sort of space in their mind. You are a character in some theater of their imagination, of their poorly recalled life, of their distant, foggy past. You are a ghostly shadow puppet.
I was the one who made fun of your pants.
And there you are, locked in. You're made fun of their pants person forever. And that, sometimes that frightens me. I say, oh my goodness. You know, somewhere, if the past is just sort of fixed, you can't go to it, which is a good thing. Scientists say, so you can travel into the future. Well, I don't really want to do that. I want to travel into the future as slowly as possible. How can we do that? And so you're doing it right now. All right, just seems so fast. But it isn't, maybe. You know? I don't know. It's going to be... You know who are going to be so obnoxious? Are the robot people of the future who would be like, I've been around for 1,000 years. Okay, good for you. You know?
I've seen a lot.
I bet you have. You know? You got to listen to them. Drone on. Drones. That's how they... We got that name from the future because that, you know, drones are these robots that you meet in bars in the future that just go on and on and on.
I hovered over those troops and killed them.
Okay, good for you. You know, it seems to me like if a good soldier that didn't have four little propellers spinning. It's so strange. I was just reading the Bible the other day.
Bible? Nobody reads that.
Yeah, but I don't want to... I hate waiting around for other people to tell me what it's about. So I was reading it the other day, and I was reading a favorite book of mine. Not really. But it was Ezekiel. Well, it is actually one of the better ones. Ezekiel describes this vision of... I don't know what they are. It's like God's throne and some other stuff flying around. And I was raised in the 70s being told, oh, those are alien spaceships. And those are landing pods. The legs that have the feet of hooves are landing pods. And that swirling wheel is a spaceship disc. And gosh, it could be. But what a wonderful... vivid image, and it's neat to think about describing something that you have no context for and how that in and of itself is pointless and unhelpful. So let's say you did see the throne of God or something, and you come back and you start describing it. I feel like I know no more than I did earlier. So, that's it. But the only thing I can assess is your emotional state, your experience, and how you feel after encountering it. But as far as the things that you, that I can't say. It's like those trick questions when you say, true or false, I say that the moon is made of cheese. And you go, false. And go, no, it's true. I just said it. You know, so is it the veracity of the statement or the belief? They're often two different things. Oh, my goodness. I can only give you my experience. I can't say whether it's true or not. and I can't tell you anything about the world. I can only describe how I've felt going through it. Oh, I don't know how you're going to affect. Say, don't sit there. It burns. I was at the movies the other day, and I had never, and a friend bought the tickets. He said, come on with me. I said, all right. So we go to the movies, and it's like no movie theater ever seen. You've probably already seen one of these kinds, but it's got recliner. Every seat's a recliner. Right? Like a big puffy with lots of room. You can see it's like the whole thing is handicap accessible. And as somebody who's kind of, I'm kind of wobble maybe a little bit from various joint problems. And so it's good. I bump into fewer people. So I'm sitting in one of these chairs, and my buttock, maybe just one buttock, starts to burn. And I think, oh no, what's going on? It's an allergic reaction, maybe. Because sometimes, you know, I have very sensitive skin. Sometimes my ears will burn or something. It's like, oh, I got this allergy. And now, my buttocks, or my, what's a nice name? There's no nice name for the, I don't like tushy. It gives me shivers. Tuchus, that's too phlegmy. Booty. But quit naming butt synonyms. So, but my grandmother used to make something called ham butt, and it was, I looked later, it was something called Oscar Mayer sweet morsel. I don't know what cut of the pig it is, but it was weird. Ham butt, I don't think it was the butt. I mean, the whole, all ham is the butt. This was from someplace else. I think it's shoulder. Sweet morsel. Have a ham butt. All right.
Can I have something else, Grammy?
No, go to your room. Eat dirt. She didn't say that. Oh, I just heard her screaming at me from the grave. You quiet down there. She's so sweet. I don't know why I'm saying these wicked things. I'm just trying to make, man, I'm trying to make you laugh. I know I was talking about Ezekiel and we got, how did we get on a different subject? I apologize. This is just a preface to me starting to say things. I haven't started to talk yet. This is just, I wanted to let you know my worldview before we go any farther. Because a lot of times you'll be listening to people, maybe on the radio, you tune in and it's in the middle of something. And you say, I don't know, you flip on, if you have antenna TV like me, you flip it on, you go, is this guy selling gutters? Is he trying to save my life? Is he got diabetes? You know, what is it? You know, what's this guy's story? I'm in medias res here. I'm intrigued. I've come right in the middle of it. I know nothing about it. And I know that radio is like that. And that you may shut this on and say, I was driving through New York City. I was driving through. I had to go to Jersey City to pick up money and jewels to take to somebody else to pay them off before somebody else could come get me. And then I got to get this package to, I don't know, whether you're living uncut jewels or something like that. But you're driving around a lot and then you hear me right in the middle of the show. And you think, did I miss something? I'm going to listen a little longer just because it's a bit different than what's on the other stations. Now, I could flip this channel and get something, one of those tunes that sounds like everything is, I don't know, maybe a machine made it or something. And I'm not criticizing music nowadays. But I guess I'm just criticizing recorded music. And my favorite recorded music, I think, of all time, sounds like this. I think we never got past that. There's something beautifully abstract about wax cylinders or old records where you can, all you hear is like everything's like, I think it's a trumpet in the distance or something, and someone, because I mean, those are the lyrics I mean, that's no different than I remember the first time I heard REM. They could have had that first, you know. Because I didn't know what he was saying. He's mumbling and everything. And I love that, though. That's perfectly abstract. Lyrics don't have to mean anything. I mean, the trumpet blares, they don't mean anything necessarily, do they? Do they carry any information? They carry tone and volume. They carry pitch and volume. And so they're a beautiful shape. I'm seeing, I just looked at the waveform on the recording after me doing that thing on the microphone where I'm a wax cylinder. And I want to apologize to you and your speakers and your ears. And I won't do that again. And I'm glad it's my mic. Because if you were doing the shift after me at the station, you'd be like, oh, you didn't do the wax cylinder thing. Did you spray? I did not spray. You spray your mic sometimes just like you do at the gym when you got to spray and wipe up. Do they still do that, or just people leave their sweat there? Deal with it. That's what I feel like nowadays. You didn't wipe up you want to die? I'm sorry. It's just that normally you wipe the thing down after you use it. I'm going to kill you! That's how I feel life is. That's why I don't leave anymore, because I'm afraid to communicate with anybody. So, but bless y'all. I know it's a wonderful, adventurous world out there. And I don't go, gyms are different, though, because people are you're kind of pumped up, right? So I know that you might be a little more edgy. And there's people filming everywhere. And then there's, like, elderly janitors that are really power lifters and everything. It's a very difficult world to navigate. And I'm from the distant past. I was from the past when I was young. I mean, I was kind of raised with old people, so my sensibilities were out of sync a long time ago. Now I am hopelessly lost, and I'm a bit of a museum piece. And say, nobody does what you do, Artie. You know what else they don't do? Shave with a straight edge or all these other things. Nobody rides a penny farthing either. That's because we've moved on and we don't need those things anymore, and we really don't need the Hardy Whites of the world, and there will be none of me at some point. Oh, that'll be terrible. You know what? We're living without polio. Oh, no, that's coming back. So maybe it will come back, you know. But things change. Seasons come and they go, just like we talked earlier about seasons, or seasoning is what I call it, is when you describe everything as a season as seasoning. And who doesn't like that? But it makes life spicy. And spice of life, this is a phrase that I've heard. And people say that all the time. The spice of life. The spice of life. I know somebody said that in the 80s. The spice of life. I don't know the rest of the song. Isn't that fun? That's all that came back to be in my memory. I keep my memories in a goopy, like a kind of a meat wad kind of thing. You mean meat wad like on the television show? No, I don't know what happened to meat wad. No, but like my brain is made of, they say tissue, but it isn't the blow your nose kind. It's like that. It's like tissue after you've blown your nose on it. So it's kind of snotty fine paper. And that's what your brain is. And that's where you keep all the impressions of your experience. And you're telling me that is somehow accurate, that there's actual information in there, usable information, or whether you have some sort of cobbled system for postponing your demise, which is, I think, what's going on. Oh, bless us all. Oh, my goodness. It's all about the good enough. I sort of realized that by studying evolution, that it was like, boy, it isn't. They make it, kind of make it sound like everything is perfectly designed and that's how it survives. But that's when you don't look at the big picture. When you look at the big picture, you think, oh, things work for a while, don't they? Until they don't. And then it's something else. So, well, I have thick skin and it's cold. Oh, you're going to thrive for a bit.
and now I'm having babies with huge horns. So it's a wonderful evolving thing, a dance that we do. It's small successes, ultimate failures. And it's a little, you don't not go on to the roller coaster because you think, oh, you know, it's all these ups and downs and then it's over. Well, you're really discounting the experience. And it's obviously worth it. There wouldn't be a line. Look at that. People get right off of the roller coaster and they want to get right back on again, but they can't because they're dead and we bury them. Oh, I'm back to the analogy. The literal roller coaster, you can get back on again and keep riding. I'm sorry. The thing is not the thing, right? The analogy isn't the thing. But I meant in Latin, it would sound better even, but I don't speak the Latin because I don't know anybody from ancient Rome. And that's the only reason I don't know. So wouldn't you know more about language? I don't know. You know, I think that anybody currently speaking French and Spanish, whether how many of them know Latin, and they're doing fine. So I was going to skip that one. But I would dearly, dearly like to learn Ubba Dubba and from Electric Company. And the reason is, did I get the show right? Zoom. From Zoom. What was Zoom? Before it was a conference call, video conference call, Zoom was a Boston-produced children's show. And you would watch the children, and they would have insider knowledge. And a lot of people's first exposure to being left out of something. And they would speak this Ubba Dubba language. Beba Lubba Dubba Deba Dubba Bubba Bubba Dubba. Oh, you're not doing it right. I can do it. Good for you. You don't see that's my problem? You can do the Ubba Dubba. I can't.
It's easy. Maybe
it's not easy for me. And if you make the Ubba Dubba language part of being in the Zoom family, will you leave me out? And I'm just play acting. I'm not really upset. I hope you understand that. We get to, this is the only medium where you got to say like, okay, it's fake. What if the movies, every once in a while, the characters turned like at the camera and went,
oh, just letting you know I'm pretending.
But for some reason, radio, you've got to do that. Poor Orson Welles, man. You go on. If it was a movie, every day of the week, you could show War of the Worlds.
Because it's a good movie.
You put it on the radio,
and people are like, we're landing.
It's so bizarre. And the same thing with me. Like, I don't know why you think it's real. Bless you. If you saw pictures of me, you'd go like, I'm not listening to anything he says. But I guess it's the disembodied voice. That was my Ernie Anderson. I made an Ernie Anderson voice. Because that's somebody, if you saw him in real life, it'd make you nervous. Bless him. But sounds great. And I guess the radio is like that too. Oh, my friends, I want you to hear the sound of my voice. Are you trying to go to sleep? Hey, I want you to get a restful sleep. I'm going to do some ASMR for you. I don't mean speaking like this and saying some things. I noticed that I've talked about this before. There are lectures now on YouTube that have a mixed use. They are both informative and they lull, or whatever it is. It's like a lullaby. They lull you with this hypnotic audio, you know, which is kind of mimics, I really don't know, the whoosh of blood in the womb or something comforting like that, some kind of thing. They have bassinets you buy, and they've got, you know, which kind of womb whooshing would your child like? Whoosh, 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 whoosh. And they're bassinets that do that. So we're all now, I got to have sound blasting. I was, my mother raised me with silence. So it was just we had a lot of silence in our life. I remember coming up. There was less things. There's just a lot of, it was okay. So there's just silence going on right now. This is birds chirping or something like that. Very interesting. Now I must have a din. I'm with you. I got to have it. And I like big city kind of thing. It's probably just the suburb things, all that nonsensical quiet. But I do like, it's always been noisy in places where there's lots of humans. And that's not a bad thing. And also a distant sax or trumpet is important. I don't know if that's still going on in New York. I guess if there's street musicians, someone's busking. And busk. Well, that's a funny word. I'm working on my stand-up act, and part of it's observation like that, because to do something well, you need to listen to the classics, to the people that do it well, to the experts, to the acknowledged masters of the forms. And so I reach for my Red Fox records. And if you visited me, you know that I have a lot. He put out a lot of records. I only have a few, really. But I have Red Fox records. So I've studied them. I have studied them like a graduate school level. And so I can say, so you might say something like, here's an example of him just riffing. Poot. I won't do the voice, if that's okay. I know that sound, when I said poot, it sounded like him saying poot, but I wasn't trying to do the voice. Okay. Poot. It's a funny word. Like freckle. Freckle my poot. So now it's the way he does it. He does it a lot funnier. But that's the way you do it. Say like, oh, that's a freckle's funny or whatever. So I'm going to say it. And then you can hear his drink too. And I think that has a lot to do with it. I wonder about my audience. I used to make pairing suggestions. I'd say this is definitely like a hard cider kind of show. And here's something else that this is what this drug or this would complement it. You know, I said muscle relaxers for this one. Muscle relaxers and, some kind of syrup. Not cough syrup. That's too strong. Coke syrup or something that you take to soothe your throat. And did y'all have that coming up? It was like Coca-Cola without the, it was just Coca-Cola syrup. And my grandmother would give it to me by the spoonful. And I guess it's what they put in like soda fountains. You would add soda to it. It was just called Coke syrup. And it wasn't cocaine or anything. It was literally just, God, why is this coming back to me? And I don't know if it did anything. And I told you she rubbed Vicks Vapor Rub on my chest and said it would be absorbed into my lungs. She should run for president or health secretary or something. With her knowledge of medicine like that. So now I'm thinking. Concentrate. My favorite thing to get when sick that she would give me was concentrated orange juice. So you get orange juice concentrate in the can, and then you take that by the spoonful. And I guess it's just like, that almost makes some sense because you're like, wow, that's a mega dose of C. You're mega dosing on C. So, like Linus Pauling. You're like Linus Pauling. You're Pauling. You megadose on C, like me and my grandmother. See? That's not very good. I'm trying to, this new rap stuff that I've been hearing about, I'm trying to get into it. Oh, my goodness. You are such a blessing to me because of your patience. And how do I know your patience? Well, either you just tuned in because you go, oh, dang it, I'm early for the good show. Wait, just hang on a minute, because there could be something good at the end of this show, you don't know, or you made it this far, that'd be wonderful. Now, some of you, and you know who I'm talking about, I love you that you listen to the show, but I also know that you have your radio on all day, and that's fine, because just I take my turn, I come up, and it's just like being I feel like I'm a customer at your barbershop and say, you know, oh, I'm going to have, I had Bryce in the chair earlier. Oh, how's he doing? And we just call, visit you one at a time and stuff. I think that's great. And I love it. And some of us keep talking and it's harder to cut our hair. And some just play fun music. And that's even better. Then they'll back announce their haircut. No. You're the bar. Who's the... The DJ is the person getting the haircut. I'm messed myself up like that because I was thinking about that radio station that's all barbers. Do you know about this? Where they're broadcasting and cutting hair at the same time? I love it.
What's it called?
It's called something. Well, now, cuts is a word that you use in both barbering and music. So let's write that one down. Write down cuts. So maybe some cuts. What's another? What are other words that you would find in both barber shops and radio stations?
Poles?
Well, there's some poles of Polish people.
No, I meant barber poles.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, but some of these are going to have to be homonyms or homophones. So, let's name some more.
Cream,
shaving cream, and then the band cream.
Yeah, or comb.
No, comb. I don't know if there's any radio things named. It was a band name, Abby. Every word is a band name. We've reached that point. Like we say, oh, there's been more people that are dead than are alive or something. Well, now we've reached the point where there's more band names than words. I've noticed that, too. We've just run out of words. There's so many bands that can't be named anymore. They have to. It's just grunts and cymbals and things like that, and that's great. But now that AI is making music, it's just, you know, abalab libadaki dupes. Like the signs when it does signs. It's like, this next act, alak nekasa pipapapula pipibibababop. And that's because it doesn't know what it's reading all the time and go, oh, yeah, there's like these funny symbols on that sign. Oh, bless it. So I think in the future, there's going to be more things like that. You know, you try telling friends about a record put out by something you can't pronounce. Because it's the language of the machines. The language of the machines, as read by Hardy White. It was a gray day in Futuria. Timbo had just gotten off work at the robot factory, and he had smuggled a whole pocket full of robot noses home with him because they were good to use as salt shakers. That's as far as I've gotten in my book. I try to get things onto books on tape just as soon as possible. So what I'll do is I'll be writing something. You know I'm a novelist. I'll write a few sentences. I will record it. Book on tape. Immediately. And then go on and keep writing. And that's just the way I work. You know, some people put on a sock, a shoe. Some put on a sock, a shoe. Some put on a sock, a shoe, another sock over that, a sock, a shoe, another sock over that, a shoe over that. And then one of those boots that you use when you break your ankle. You don't have to break it. I wore one when I had Achilles tendinosis. That's a real word. Oh, bless you so much. I'm so thankful for you. Welcome to a new year. You just dated your show. I don't tell you what new year, but this is a New Year's Day show. I had a Christmas. You can figure out what year it is because I had a Christmas Day show and a New Year's Day show the same year. 1958? Yes. Oh, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide. Oh, my goodness, you are the best around. Nothing's going to ever... Well, I just want to tell you thank you once again. Take these last seconds to say how blessed I am by your listenership. We are more a community than we are any kind of audience, artist kind of thing. And I am so grateful for your friendship and your loyalty and your affection and your encouragement. And it meets the world to me. And bless you and have joy and wonder in the new year.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony.